Of Zion in Likutei Moran, Chelek Aleph. In these Likutei Morans, it's in the our Likutei Morans with the Rashi print. It's page 89, the left hand column, the bottom paragraph on the page. But in all Likutei Morans, it's Torah of Zion, paragraph Ches. To give a review, this chapter on Likutei Moran is relatively small and containable in terms of a person containing it. In their mind, the concepts, the ideas that are found in this chapter in Likutei Moran, we'll review them, because what we're going to be doing now is we have one paragraph to close this chapter in Likutei Moran, and then we're going to cover some additional things that are going to be a review and a clarification of what this chapter was about. Rabbi Nizal started off presenting the loftiest concept imaginable in Judaism. Where Rabbi Nizal started off saying that if you want to draw the entire world to serve Hashem in total unity and harmony, and everybody should drop their idols of gold and silver and pray to Hashem only and worship Hashem only, that's done in every single generation according to the level of world peace that's found in every generation. And Rabbi Nizal went on to explain that in order to achieve peace, you need he'oras ponim, hadras ponim. There has to be a certain beauty of the face that radiates in a certain form, and that's what makes it possible for there to be peace between people. There's a concept of a bad face, somebody showing somebody a bad face as a sign of lack of peace between them, versus this radiance on the face that's a reflection that there is a possibility, a potential for shalom between them. And Rabbi Nizal quoted Psukim to substantiate this, the connection between Ha'oras Ponim and Sholem. He quoted the Pasuk, Vayovoy Yaakov Sholem Ir Shechem. Yaakov Avinu came to the city of Shechem whole. Sholem means whole, complete. Sholem is also Sholem, Miloshen peace. Yaakov Avinu represents the beauty of the face, because the Gemara makes a point of saying that the beauty of his face shone in a unique way, like the face of Odom Arishon. Not the face of Yitzchok Avinu. In other words, Yaakov Avinu is known for this shine of the face, and that goes together with Sholem, or Sholem. Then Rabbi Nizal said that the way that a person turns on this light of the face is by studying the Drushei HaTorah, specifically by learning the 13 ways by which the Torah Shebal Peh is darshaned. In other words, the foundation through which the Torah Shebal Peh is used to interpret and to explore and to expand the Torah Shebichsav. That limud is what turns this light on in the face. Then Rabbi Nizal went on to say that that limud also is what purifies the sound of a person's voice, to give that person's voice the clarity that it needs to be most effective. And Rabbi Nizal drew the connection between the beauty of the face and the voice. Harini es maraich, hashmiini es koilech, the Pasuk says, show me your beautiful face and let me hear your voice, that the two go together. Then Rabbi Nizal went on to say that we're talking about a level of perfection of the voice here, whereby a person who perfected their voice in this manner, even without speech, just the sound of their voice alone, would bring a Yeshua. As the Pasuk says, Vayar batzar lohem b'shomo yesrinosom, that Hashem saw their pain, Hashem saw their constriction, their suffering, when he heard their song. Not their explanation, it didn't take any detailed 35-page explanation, but rather simply hearing the song of their voice was enough to make Hashem focus and pay attention to their problem and go in and resolve it. Then Rabbi Nizal said that the key to this turning on the light of the face, the key to being zeche, to those drushei HaTorah, which turn on the light in the face and purify the song, the sound of the person's voice, the key to all of that is tikkun abris, purity in the area of tikkun abris, which means how men and women conduct themselves related to purity, everything within that realm. And Rabbi Nizal went on to show all the different connections between these things. And then he said, finally, in the last paragraph, an additional comment regarding Sholem, that you should know that peace cannot be achieved without bitterness. Rabbi Nizal says that the Gemara tells us that when the Jews came out of Mitzrayim, after Kriyas Yamsuf, after the splitting of the Red Sea, where the beautiful song came forth. We'll have more clarification on how that event is actually a reflection of this whole Torah in Likutei Moran. But in any case, after the Kriyas Yamsuf, after the Jews came out of Mitzrayim, they came to a place called Morah. Morah means bitterness. And the Torah says that Shabbos b'Morah nitna, that the mitzvah of Shabbos was given to the Jews in a place called Morah, in a place called bitterness. And the Torah tells us that it was called bitter because even the water there was bitter. They couldn't drink the water, and it was only through a special miracle of Hashem that the waters there were sweetened. But in any case, the name of that location remained Morah, and that's where Hashem taught the Jews Shabbos. And Rabbi Nizal explains that we know that Shabbos is the symbol of Sholem. We invite the Shabbos into our home by the lighting of candles on Friday night. And the Gemara says that the Neirois Shel Shabbos are the symbol of Sholem Bayis. We've explained in the past that Sholem, the most basic Sholem, is the Sholem between husband and wife. A husband, the difference between male and female, the Gemara says, in terms of number of organs in the body. The male has 248 organs in the body. A woman, there's a machlekes in the Gemara, whether she has 252 or 253. In other words, she has at least four additional organs that are used in giving birth. So that everybody agrees that she has at least 252. Which means that the compromise between male and female, between 248 and 252, is 250. 250 is right up the middle. 250 is Bigimatria Ner, the word Ner, which means the candle. The candle is the symbol of Sholem, and the two Neirois represent the Zohar and the Nekeva, the Achdus between Zohar and Nekeva, which represent Zohar and Shomer on Shabbos. Zohar v'Shomer b'dibur echad, the Zohar HaKodesh shows how Shomer is Bechinas Nukva. The mitzvois Asay in the Torah represent the Zohar, the male, the concept of Chesed, and the mitzvah of Shomer represents the female, the Lois Asay. This is basically what we had so far in this chapter on Likutei Moran in a bit more detail. And now, in this final paragraph, Rabbi Nizal is going to go into a little more detail in defining the Sholem, in terms of what Sholem encompasses. Because the Gemara says, on that pasuk where it says, Vayovoi Yaakov Sholem Ir Shechem, that Yaakov Avinu entered the city of Shechem whole. The word Sholem means whole, and a person is whole when there's peace. The word Machlekes itself means not whole, divided. On Pesach, we take the middle matzah, which starts out as a sholem, and we divide it, we break it. That breaking is machlekes. Lechalek means to divide, and machlekes is also the opposite of sholem. So there's no question that these two terms, sholem, which means whole, complete, and sholem, which means peace, those two are synonymous. And that's why what makes the Shemoneh Esrei complete, that which completes the Shemoneh Esrei and makes it whole, is the bracha for Sholem specifically, that final bracha that concludes the Shemoneh Esrei. So now Rabbi Nizal says that the Gemara over there says that Yaakov Avinu came into the city Sholem in three departments. Sholem begufoi, Sholem bemamoinoi, and Sholem betoirosoi. The Gemara says he was whole in his body. His body was complete, which means in complete peace, in a perfect state of peace. His money, his wealth, was in a complete state of peace. No turbulence, no turmoil, no confusion. Everything mesuder. And number three, sholem b'toirosoi. His Torah was at peace. This is what the Gemara says. Now Rabbi Nizal is going to explain this. The Sholem begufoi, when the Gemara over there in Masechta Shabbos, which explains this pasuk Vayovo Yaakov Sholem Rishchem, says Sholem begufoi, Sholem bemamoinoi, v'chula, etc. This is what it means. Rabbi Nizal says, number one, Sholem begufoi, bedalid morois. This refers to the four basic elements in the body, the four basic elements of creation, which are fire, water, air, and dust. Those are the basic ingredients that make up the person, that determine the level of heat or cold in the body, the level of dampness or dryness, which are all the most basic properties that represent the harmony and peacefulness in the body, the health of a person, plain and simple. Fever or not fever, chills, running nose, dehydrated, all basically revolving around these Dalet Yesoidos, Eish Ruach Mayim Ofor, which are called the Dalet Morois, these four basic foundations. Which means, Shelo Tisgaber Achas Al Chaverto, which means none of these four should get out of line and try to overtake the other. When the Yesoid of Eish in the body gets out of line, it tries to be too strong, the person is burning up with fever. When the Yesoid of Mayim falls short, there's dehydration. When the Yesoid of Ofor is misgaber, there's depression. The Zohar HaKadosh explains that depression comes from the dirt, the dust from which the person is made up from. Because the dust represents the nochosh, Ofor, v'hanochosh, Ofor lachmoy. The snake eats dirt, and the snake is the symbol of depression. Low, feeling down, way down, as low down as a snake, no feet at all. Person doesn't have feet to stand on, that's the symbol of depression, whereas all the way down in the dumps, that concept. So Rabbi Nezal says, that's sholem begufoy, means where there's peace and harmony among these four yesoidos. Next, sholem bemamoinoi, where there's peace within the person's wealth, within the person's money. Shelo yihye bo zeh v'ocha lezeh kamoy she'om rabas nagdimon ben gurion. So that the bad money should not come and destroy the good money, as is mentioned in the story in the Gemara. The Gemara says that there were three wealthy men who were so rich that when the Romans wanted to destroy the city of Yerushalayim and they laid siege on Jerusalem, these three people, their wealth alone could have sustained the city of Yerushalayim for years. No problem. They didn't need anything from the outside. One of them was Nakhdimon Ben Gurion. His daughter, obviously, was part of a multi-billionaire family. So the Gemara says that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the rabbis saw her walking around in total poverty, the lowest level of poverty. So they asked her, what happened? What happened to all your wealth? What happened to all your father's wealth? So she explained that there was a pigam in some of the money in the family. Some of the money was bad. It became rotten. And as a result, when you mix a rotten fruit with good fruit, the rotten fruit makes the good fruit spoil. Here also, the bad money, when it mixed with the good money, made the whole thing rot and go away. Literally, disappear. So Rabbi Nezal says there is a concept of peace within a person's wealth, that there shouldn't be, again, the bad should not overtake the good there, but rather everything should be in perfect balance. A person should know what money to use for Gashmias, what money to use for Ruchnias, how much to give for Tzedakah, how much not to give for Tzedakah. The Torah gives guidelines to know what Sholoim in money is also considered to be. Not to go to any extreme in an unbalance. The Gemara discusses dividing a person's wealth into three areas: real estate, liquid assets, other monies. Now, as the Gemara describes what the balance and sholoim is within money. And third, sholoim b'toirosoi, peace within his Torah, which means b'loi kushyos, without questions, without doubts. When a person studies Torah and they have questions, unanswered questions, that means that their Torah is not at peace. There's machlokes, there's doubt. Whereas once the questions can all be resolved, a person is zoche to study deeply enough to resolve all of their questions, that's called sholoim b'toirosoi, where there's a peace and tranquility even in his Torah. Va'oz va'yovo Yaakov sholoim ir Shechem. And that's when the Pasuk says, he came to the city of Shechem, peace. And we said Shechem represents total unity. La'avdoi Shechem Echod, the Pasuk says. Shoulder to shoulder. People united, standing shoulder to shoulder. The word Shechem also means shoulder. That's the word that's used in the Torah to represent total world peace. So this is how Rabbi Nezal clarifies what he was talking about when he meant the word Shalom. That he was using the word Shalom in an all-encompassing way. Literally to represent everything. Now Rabbi Nezal goes back, and based on this whole chapter on Likutei Moran, he uses it to explain a debate between Rabbi Shua ben Hananya and the wise men of Athens, as we explained in the beginning. The Zeh Pirush, this is the explanation to what they said. The question was, Ritziso de Mayis Bebeusei, a chick that dies while it's inside the egg, Hechonofik Rucha, how does it, I'm reading from the beginning of the chapter, just that those first two lines. How does its spirit leave? If the egg isn't cracked, it dies inside the egg, how does the spirit leave? This is the question they asked Rabbi Shimon Hananya, and he answered them very simple, Bahainu Dol, the same way it came in. There was no door in the shell of the egg for the ruach to come in. The same way it found its way in, it finds its way out. No sweat. Now Rabbi Nizal is going to give a deeper explanation to what they were really referring to. V'ze pirush ritzitzo. The word ritzitzo means a chick. The word ritzitzo also means broken. Bechinas kone rotzutz. This refers to the windpipe, the broken reed. That's the symbol of the goyim. The symbol of the Jews is a kone, that's sholem. We spoke earlier, kone is the windpipe from which the voice comes forth. When the voice is bishleimus, it represents a kone sholem. When the koel rino is not bishleimus, it's this concept of a kone rotzutz, a broken reed. So Rabbi Nizal says, "V'ze pirush ritziso b'chinas kone rotzutz shehem ho'akum." This refers to the non-Jews. Shehem rechoikim mibchinas zokein ze kono chochmo. They are very far away from what we spoke about earlier. The level of zokein, which we said zokein is ze kono. Zokein is one who has acquired chochmo because there is perfection of his kone. Of his windpipe, the koel rino, we said the perfection of the voice and the perfection of the light on the face, the chachma, come from the same place. So they who are far from that, they're far from chachma, from hadrasponim, vehem dveikim bekone rotzutz, and they're attached to this defective reed. Kamoi shekosav, as the posuk says, ge'ar chayas kone, Hashem destroy the wild animal who hangs out among the reeds, in other words, in the swamps, referring to Esav Arosha, referring to the non-Jewish nations. So we see that they also have a kone, but their kone is the opposite of the kone of the Jews. So this kone, demayis bebeusei hainu lohomis ulevatel bousam utzloisam, if we want to kill their prayers. Ba'usei means an eggshell. The word ba'usei in Aramaic also means tefillah. If we want to be able to kill their tefillos, meaning, Hainu lohomis ulevatel busam etzloisam, milevakesh oid me'elokim acherim, elo likroi kulam b'shem Hashem. It means we want to redirect their tefillos. We want to change the direction of their tefillos, whereas till now they're praying to all kinds of idols and baloney. We want to redirect it to the source of where all tefillos should be going, which is the one Hashem. If a person wants to do that, how do you accomplish that? How do you accomplish this world peace, which we started off saying, that'll bring everybody, likroi kulam b'shem Hashem. So Rabbi Nizal says, they asked, heicho nofik rucha. Hainu zoi sabachino iefshir el al yedei tikkun abris. The next statement in this Gemara, where they said, where does the Ruach go out, was referring to the connection of Tikkun HaBris to this topic. Because Tikkun HaBris is called Ruach in the Torah in many places. Rabbi Nizal says, to achieve this level could only be done through Tikkun HaBris. Shehu bechinas v'loi koma oid Ruach bo'ish. One of the psukim in Yehoshua, where it talks about the Jews achieving tikkun abris, when Yehoshua gave them all a bris milah before they were able to enter into Eretz Yisrael, it says, uses this term, they will no longer be a ruach shtus, but rather they'll be a ruach tahara, a spirit of purity in tikkun abris. So that's what's needed. That's what's needed to achieve the world peace. Now, ve'eich mapik u'moitzi nitzutze akdusha shenoflo aydei pegam abris. So the question was, fine, but we know that the world now is in a state of the opposite. There's tremendous pegam abris that's been done already. There's been tremendous destruction in this area, and as a result, many sparks of kedusha have fallen into the wrong hands. It's fallen into the hands of the tumah, the satan. How do we redeem them? How do we fix words, it's not as if we're starting from zero. We're starting from minus, because we know there each and every one of us as individuals have been poigim. We've committed sins that brought us to a minus in this area, and plus the world on a general level has committed Rachmanel Slan Pegam Abris. So the question is, how do you correct the minuses? And the Gemara says, Bahainu Do'ol. Those same people who are responsible for messing it up, those same people are going to be the ones that have to go back and fix it. The same way it went out, that's the same way it comes back in. Into that same person that they're entered the ruach shtus, the bad kind of ruach, that caused them to commit sins of pigam abris, whether it be in thought or speech or action on any level. This refers specifically to bad thoughts of adultery. And that person that was committing these sins comes to a realization as to how bad this is and is aroused to want to fix it. And then when this person is tested again, rather than doing the same sin again, this time when he's tempted, when the thoughts come into his mind, he fights it off, he pushes it away. That's how he exacts, in other words, he extracts and removes those sparks of holiness that were pogum, that were destroyed and made defective as a result of his pigam abris. Because this is the concept of doing equal tshuva. The Rambam Zal talks about this, and all the Sforim that speak about tshuva talk about a person having to go back and do exact fixing for the pigam that was done. So here also, if we're talking about a concept of tikkun abris that's in a position to get the world to the level of world peace, who is it dependent on? It's dependent on those same people who messed up. They're the ones who have to go back and fix. And that's the Merirus when we spoke earlier, and we said that the Sholem can only be achieved through bitterness. Rav Nachman Shigrinzal explains, this is the bitterness. The bitterness is when a Baal Tshuva finds himself being tested, when the Satan sends his brain back to those bad places where it used to be, or puts the person through certain tests and everything. Person says, I thought I left this behind. Person does tshuva, and they start walking on all white satin carpets, and everything's pure and clean, and he's tzaddik, and everything's okay. And then suddenly, a few months later, or a few years later, whatever the timing is, suddenly the satan comes back at him, and throws him right back to where he was before. Either mentally, or physically, or in all kinds of ways, the person suddenly finds themselves being bombarded with things that they thought they had cut themselves off from completely before. And the reason why this is happening is, this is their opportunity to affect this tikkun. The only way that that person can get to where they're supposed to get to is by being put through this bitterness, this merirus, this testing, this retesting, and re-going through those same moves, only getting it right this time. That's how the person can achieve shalom. Peace, in other words, where the Avera is removed completely, it's uprooted from its source, and then it can no longer bother the person ever again. The stain is totally erased.
If he fails his test, is he given another opportunity with the, test again?
Usually, yes. Question is, if he fails the test, does he have another chance? The answer is, Hashem's Rachmonus is infinite. One of the things our Rebbe Zichron Avrocha told over, I believe, in the name of the Balat Tanya, if I'm not mistaken, is that when we say in Shmon Esrei, Baruch Ato Hashem, Chanun Hamarbe Lesloyach, blessed are you Hashem, the Hashem who has tremendous forgiveness. The word marbe means a lot in Hebrew, and the word ribui also means more. More forgiveness. More than what? More than the ability of a Jew to sin. If a Jew were to achieve perfection in sinning, if he were to be the fastest, most effective sinner, Hashem's power of forgiveness can outrun him any day, no sweat. Hashem's power of forgiveness and chesed can outrun him any day. That's what a Jew needs to know. And that's the kavona. When we say chanun hamarbe lesloyach, it means I'm admitting Hashem, I know I've done billions of sins, And if I'm at billions, then you're at trillions. And if I'm at trillions, then you're bigger than that. However big, however exceptional I was in doing sins, I believe, Be'emunah Shleima, that you're more exceptional in forgiving, in fixing. That's the Emunah of a Jew. Elamai, unfortunately, usually, the second chance is more difficult than the first. Because of the fact that the person was given a chance to correct and failed, sometimes, number one, it takes a while till a person is given the second chance, and sometimes there's a wrinkle thrown in to make it a little bit more difficult because you were a bad boy or a bad girl. You didn't get it right the first. We gave you an opportunity the first time. Now, in order to prove your loyalty and your seriousness, you have to be willing to go an extra inch. Just like the Gemara says that the hay is the letter that's symbolic of tshuva. The hay represents this world. When a person falls, he falls out of the bottom. The bottom of the hay is wide open. A lot of room, the door's wide open if a person wants to fall down. When a person wants to come back, he doesn't come back from the same exit, the same place that he exited. He's got to come back through the other part, the other opening in the hay, which is a little bit higher up, which means a little more difficult to get to, and it's smaller than that opening a little bit, which means a little bit difficult. Person is tested to see, are you serious? Are you really sincere in wanting to fix? Now Rabbeinu Zal quotes an additional pasuk, Zikenim. This is a pasuk in Eicha, which ties together two of the concepts that we mentioned in this Torah. Zikenim mishar shavosu, bachurim miniginosom. When the old wise people were destroyed, then the youth lost their power to sing. We see the connection here between zekenim, zekona. We said zokain is hadras ponim. The word zokain means old, and the word zokain also means the beard, which is the hadras ponim. And that's connected to the koyach hanegina, the power of negina. When this goes, that automatically goes also. Refers to the Sanhedrin, exactly. And the Sanhedrin are the symbol of biurei Torah, knows the mafarshia Torah. Okay, now Rabbeinu Zal adds an additional piece of information, a very interesting piece of information. There's a pasuk that says, which we quoted earlier, the pasuk in Tehillim, Vayar Batsar Lohem, the Shomo Yesri Noson, that Hashem saw their suffering when he heard the sound of their voice, their song. Rabbeinu Zal says, Al Yidei Shmias Koiloi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Roye Mishamei Tzarloi. Through the person, through Hashem hearing the sound of the person's voice, note, not the words, but the sound of the voice, that through that Hashem sees who's making problems for him, Ezehu Akum Meitzar Lanu, which nation specifically is causing the problem at that time, is it Iraq, is it France, who's the Sinai Yisrael on deck that for that day, or for that, and Hashem does what has to be done. The Omar and Rabbeinu Zal said, Sha'al Kain, because of this reason, because of the connection between these two items, the song and Hashem seeing, observing who's causing the problem and fixing it, Kishiyesh Chas V'Sholom Ezek Zera V'Tzor L'Yisro Mezakum, whenever there is a specific problem, a particular nation is going up against the Jewish people and trying to cause them problems, Azai toiv lenagen hanigun shel oiso akum shemeitzer lem chas v'sholom. It's a very good thing to sing the song of that nation that's going against the Jews, that's trying to do harm against Bnei Yisrael. V'zehu, this is another translation and another interpretation of that pasuk. V'zehu b'shomoy es rino som. Note the wording in the pasuk. Vayar batzar lohem, Hashem saw who was causing them problems, b'shomoy es rino som. When he heard their song, who's the there? There's two interpretations. The there could be the Jews, and the there could also be the song of the nation that's causing the problems. Hainu rino v'nigun shelohem shel oiso ho'akum shemeitziru l'Yisrael chasashon. This refers to the song of that particular nation that's causing a problem to the Jewish people. And this is why there is a custom sometimes of integrating certain songs of the non-Jews into a nigun of Bnei Yisrael. In Russia, there is such an item, taking the Russian march and making a song out of it. The intent in doing this was to bring down that nation, to topple that nation. When a nation tries to cause problems for Bnei Yisrael, one of the ways of being able to bring them down is by singing their song. Although, delicate item. This isn't a license for Jews to go out and learn every single rock and roll song and all the non-Jewish songs, Chas v'Shalom, because Rabbeinu Zal has a few chapters in Likud Imran where he talks about how delicate an item this is, how delicate it is to hear the wrong type of song, how just like a Jew hearing the right kind of song, it could be one of the most fantastic inspirations to make a person more religious. One of the things that makes people move away from religion and away from Hashem is listening to the wrong type of song, the wrong type of music. So obviously, this is something that could only be done at the discretion of very great tzaddikim. They are the ones who would know when this should be done, when and how and which song and by who this should be accomplished. Baruch Hashem. This concludes this chapter on Likutei Moran. Now, a few additional, very interesting and enlightening items related to this. Certainly for those that were present for the whole Torah should be able to follow some of the things we're going to say now. And to the extent that we reviewed, it should also be possible to connect with some of the things we're going to say now. First of all, Reb Nachman Shigrinzal, one of the Mefarshim in the back, uses this chapter in Likutei Moran to explain more clearly the story of Kriyas Yamsuf. Because we know Kriyas Yamsuf is one of the occasions where the Pasuk says that, number one, they said, Ze keli v'anvehu elekeovi v'ramamenhu. Anvehu means to beautify. This is the Hashem that I will beautify. Miloshin hidur hadras ponim. They saw the face of Hashem. Kaviyochel. The Pasuk says, Roaso shifchu alayom ashalayroch chiyecheskel membuzi. There was a revelation of this hidur ponim there more so than any other time before. Also, it's one of the most outstanding examples of Shira, the Jews singing on the highest level, to the extent where that Shabbos is called Shabbos Shira in every single, throughout the generations. Also, the fact that the Oz Yosher begins with the word Oz, Yosher Moshe Bnei Israel, the Meforshim say that Oz is Begimatria 8, and Oz represents Tikkun HaBris. Oz Yosher Moshe Bnei Israel, Es Hashiro Hazois. They sang this song. The Gemara says, "What's Hashira Hazois? Va'ani Zois Brisi Omar Hashem." That the word Zois represents Tikkun HaBris. That it's through purification that a person is able to sing properly, where the song has this effectiveness that we spoke about earlier. So these are some of the things that Rav Nachman Shigrinzal ties in to show what was going on at Kriyas Yamsuf and how it ties into this chapter on Likutei Moran. Now there is a Medrash Pliya. Medrash Pliya means certain statements in the Medrash which are not understandable in any regular way. Al Pipshat, it seems not to make any sense. And many of the Meforshim give very interesting explanations of this. The Medrash Pliya asks, first of all, the Gemara asks, what did the Red Sea see, S-E-E, that caused it to split? So the Gemara says, the Gemara answers, Hayom ro'o vayonois. The Red Sea saw the coffin of Yosef HaTzadik. About Yosef HaTzadik, it says that when Potiphar's wife tested him in this area, in Tikkun HaBris, what did he do? Vayonos. He ran out. He didn't walk away from her. He ran. Vayonos vayetze achutza, it says. He ran away from her. So now when it says by the Red Sea, Hayom ro'o vayonois, that the Red Sea saw and it ran, that's the pshat. The Gemara darshins, what did it see that made it split? It saw the coffin of that great tzaddik that passed this test of running away from Pegam HaBris. That's what brought about Kriyas Yamsuf. That's what brought about the Shira. That's what brought about the Hadras Ponim. The Medrash Pliya says, what did the Yam see? Hayom ro'o vayonois, ma ro'o, what did it see? Braisa de Rabbi Shmuel ro'o. It saw the Braisa Rabbi Shmuel oimer b'shloish esrei midos ha-Torah nireshes bohem. This is what the Medrash says there. Rav Nachman Shigrinzal says, based on this chapter on Likutei Moran now, you have the connection between the two. Because Rabbeinu Zal showed us how Tikkun HaBris is what gives a person the ability to connect to these Yud Gimel Midoy Shatur and Edreshes Bahem. The whole concept of a clarity in the study of Torah, being able to understand the Torah clearly based on this system of Yud Gimel Midoy Shatur and Edreshes Bahem, which is based on the Yud Gimel Tikune Dikna, the Zohar HaKadosh says the 13 qualities of holiness that are found in the beard. That's all connected. That's all tied in to what brought about this Kriyas Yamsuf, this revelation of the Oyer of Hashem, this Zekeli Vianvehu, etc., etc. Rav Nachman Shigrinzal also explains another very important question that comes up. The Gemara says that when the Jews were crossing the Yamsuf, the angel that represented the Yamsuf complained, "Why are you telling me, Hashem, to treat them differently from them? The Jews from the Egyptians, when both of them are idol worshippers." Let's say one worshipped a little more, one worshipped a little less, but the truth is that the Jews, while they were in Egypt, did fall into idol worship to a degree. So why should these be allowed to go through safely and the other ones not? So the Gemara says that Hashem was, this was a very powerful taina, a very powerful complaint, number one, and the Gemara doesn't necessarily say what Hashem's answer was to this. The Gemara does say that when it saw the coffin of Yosef HaTzadik, the Red Sea split. The question is, where's the connection between the coffin of Yosef HaTzadik and answering to that complaint, to that logical question? Now this, the Gemara all bases on Psukim and Shir HaShirim. There's a pasuk that says, Yoinosi Bechag VeHaselo, Hasela. My dove, Hashem says, my beautiful dove was caught among the rocks, among the big boulders. It got trapped in there and like couldn't get out. It had nowhere to move. And the Gemara says that refers to this, the Jews being backed against the wall at that time by the Sar Shalyamik complaining, where's justice? What right do they have to live any more than the other ones? Now, right after that pasuk, Yoinosi Bechag Ve'asel and Shir HaShirim, the next pasuk says, Harini Es Maraich, Hashmi'ini Es Koilech, Ki Koilech Orev Umarech Nove. Let me see your beautiful face. Let me hear your voice, because your face is beautiful and your voice is sweet. Rav Nachman Shigrinzal says this is the whole explanation of this chapter. Yosef HaTzadik represents perfection of Tikkun HaBris. Perfection of Tikkun HaBris means Hidur Ponim. It means perfection of the Koil Rina. Perfection of Tikkun HaBris means Shalom. We said that the key to this, to getting to this Shalom, is when the Kol Rino is right, all of these things are right, then you're able to get to this level of everybody, Lo'ovdoi Shechem Echod, everybody serving Hashem in total unity, everything being okay, everybody dropping their idols of gold and silver and worshipping Hashem in total harmony. Therefore, when the Yamsuf saw that this item was with Bnei Yisrael, that the Aroinoi Shel Yosef was with Bnei Yisrael, that showed that even if they did worship idols in the past, this one is in a position to perfect and turn around the whole item. This Aroinoi Shel Yosef, which represents the Tikkun for the Mareponim and the Koil Rina, through which a person, which is dependent on Tikkun HaBris, and Yosef HaTzadik was the symbol of perfection in Tikkun HaBris, because of that, he was able to bring about a diffusion of this Kitrug. The Sar Shalyam's complaint, they are idol worshippers. Their idol worship is being eliminated through this one. This Yosef HaTzadik has all the qualifications that are needed to achieve Le'ovdoi Shechem Echod. And that's why Yosef HaTzadik is buried in Shechem. His place is Shechem. He's the one who represents perfection of this Le'ovdoi Shechem Echod, which means the opposite of idol worship. To serve Hashem in total unity, which means dropping the Elilei Kesef, Elilei Zohov. This is one item. And then the final item that he mentions again, the stress on the Merirus, that the only way to get to the Sholem is through the Merirus, and as was explained earlier, that the Jews got the mitzvah of Shabbos, Sholem, in the place called Mora, so to any Jew, a Baal Tshuva, Rabbi Nizal explains in another Torah Mikutimran, that a Baal Tshuva goes through at least two major phases. One phase is called Sheish Yesimei HaChol, and the second phase is Shabbos, meaning when a person comes to a realization that they were in a bad place and they have to exit from that bad place, in order to enter into the holiness, they have to go through it in two levels. Level one is a concept where they enter into a phase of good and bad mixed together. Let's say originally they were in a totally bad place. As they start going through their education, each time they learn something new and correct something else, they're starting to narrow to lessen the percentages. 1% good, 99% bad. 2% good, 98% bad. And slowly but surely, there's a birur taking place inside the person, the friends that they keep, all the different things related to that person's world, that person's sphere of where they operate. As they go through all the changes that they have to go through, in the first state, they're still a mix of kosher, posel, tamei, tohor, osur, mutter, good and bad mixed together. Just as in Mishnayos, in the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, the six sections of Mishnah, there's constant machloikis. This one says kosher, this one says unkosher. This one says tohor, tamei, back and forth. And it's only after a person passes through that phase and works out everything they have to work out, then they get to Shabbos. Then they get to that place called Shabbos. Shabbos means rest, where there's no more wavering. There's no more 1 foot here, 1 foot there. And 1 minute being very religious, the next minute falling into the depths and constantly walking in this lopsided manner, but rather the person coming to a resting, to a peace of mind, and a restfulness, you know, a concept of menucha, which Rabbeinu Zal calls tshuva bebechinas Shabbos. There's a tshuva of the sheishes himei achoel and a tshuva bechinas Shabbos. And this tshuva bechinas Shabbos, which is shalom, the only way it could be achieved is through moro. A person must be willing, a person has to realize that they deserve the bitterness. Not that they deserve the bitterness, they deserve much, much more than what they're giving. Hashem only gives a fraction of what a person really deserves. And that whatever Hashem is giving me is still with tremendous chesed, with tremendous kindness. And if I'll show respect, if I'll judge Hashem properly, and I'll judge Hashem for the good that Hashem really knows how much I need to go through, or how much I can handle, how much I can't handle, then that person is zeichet to get to this shalom, this highest level. One of the other meforshim shows a beautiful connection from this chapter on Likutei Moran to another incident in the Torah. The Torah begins by saying Avraham Avinu got to a certain place in his life where Avraham zoken bo bayomim v'Hashem beirach es Avraham bakoil. Avraham Avinu was zokein. We said zokein means wise, chochma. Zokein means hadras ponim, which means tikkun abris, which means perfect. Hoyd v'hodo lefonov, oiz v'chedva bimkoima. We quoted that pasuk earlier, that the beauty of the face is tied into the oiz. Oiz is tikkun abris. Boyaz is called boyaz. In him is strength. This oiz, strength, refers specifically to tikkun abris. Ezehu gibor hakoyvesh es yitzroi, we said earlier. So it says that Avraham Avinu was zokein, bo bayomim, and Hashem blessed them with koil. We learned in this chapter on the Likutei Moran, what is koil? Koil is sholoim. Because there's a pasuk, oiseh sholoim, uvoireyes hakoil. Hashem who makes peace and creates everything. Everything, which means again, shlemus, everything is shalom, everything is peace. Right after that sentence, Avraham Avinu gives instructions to his servant Eliezer, I want you to go seek out a wife for my son Yitzchak. What's the connection? Why is that sentence the opening sentence of this topic of Eliezer going to seek out a wife for Yitzchak Avinu? Yitzchak Avinu was the first legitimate Jewish child. Avraham Avinu was born to Terach and his wife, Terach and Amasloi, who were not Jews in the true sense of religious. The Torah says Terach was an idol worshipper, very irreligious. So that Avraham Avinu did not represent the same level of purity in a sense as Yitzchak Avinu, who came already from totally religious parent, from Sarah and Avraham Avinu. He came from a total pure place, which means that his zivug, his tikkun abris, was going to be the beginning of Klal Yisrael. That was going to be literally the beginning of tikkun abris for Klal Yisrael. It's preceded by telling us that you can bet that his daddy, Avraham Avinu, had these qualifications. He was zokein, he had the hadar ponim, the zekona, the koil, the hizdakus hakoil, and he had this power of sholoim, this bakoil, which represents this mid of sholoim that we spoke about earlier.
How does the concept of, you mentioned before, just now, about the person finally getting from Shesh Yismei Chol to Shabbos, that kind of Shabbos, how does that relate or go hand in hand with the concept of a person constantly being tested and constantly having ups and downs as long as he lives? How do you reconcile the two?
Easily. Even within the ups and downs, each time a person, the nature of a person's life, or certainly a person's climb up the ladder, involves battle, rest, new battle, new rest, new battle. Each time there's these two sections. Just like Lahavdil, within the battlefield of Parnosa, there's the 6 days of punching it out, and then there's the Shabbos, where we empty out the pockets, get rid of the junk, get rid of the money, get rid of all the parnasa, put the books in the closet, everything's away. So too, Lahavdil Baruchnius, there's each person within their cycles goes through their Shesh Yismei Chol and their Shabbos, until they get to a total Shabbos. In other words, again, there's sections and levels within sections. On each and every level, there's these cycles of 6 days of a week and Shabbos relative to the bigger picture, relative to the still bigger picture. But there's always this concept of going through one phase of heavy-duty battle, heavy-duty lopsidedness, and then achieving a certain degree of temporary peace, a bechina of Shabbos, and then starting again. Just lahavdil, day and night. Person throughout the day running around, night, go to sleep. At night, we play Shabbos. We go to sleep, close the eyes. The chokhmah is all put away. In the drawer, we go back to emunah. Chadoshim labkorim, we close the eyes, the sechel. We're mechadesh the emunah. Start off the next morning, moidani lefonecha, melechai v'kayim, starting from scratch again. This concept, and there's hundreds of different examples of this 6 days of the week versus the Shabbos within every person's life.
Is there anything that's supposed to show, let's say, if a person climbs from one level to the next, is the ratio change, let's say, between Shesh Yismei Chol and Shabbos, is it a different type of rest?
It's different worlds. In other words, I just came across it in Likutei Halachos recently, where Rav Nosson Zal uses this exact wording. He says that there are tzaddikim whose Yetzer Hara is infinitely, infinitely more religious than our Yetzer Tov. Because what their Yetzer Hara is telling them to do would be much, much bigger than our biggest mitzvah. You understand? Because he's so many millions of levels above us, what's considered on his level a crime or a fall, to us, we would wish our best mitzvah could be anything like that. So that this again, this is taking place in all different ways for each one on his level. On his, the tzaddik's, we would wish that our Shabbos could be like his Sunday. And that's the real truth. And as you see the way tzaddikim act, you see the holiness and the peace of mind, you know, what we achieve sometimes on a Shabbos, you know, we see that by them that's less than that when they're achieving on a Wednesday, lahavdil. The level of kiddusha, you know, the et cetera, et cetera. Any additional questions? One item I would like to do briefly. First of all, a very important piece of advice. Every chapter in Likutei Moran just about has a tefillah in Likutei Tefillos that Rav Nosson Zal wrote, where he asked Hashem to help him to understand and accomplish everything that Rabbeinu Zal suggested and proposed in that chapter on Likutei Moran. Those tefillos are also intended to be like a Rashi on Likutei Moran, because it's Rav Nosson Zal showing you his version, his understanding of what Rabbeinu Zal wanted us to walk away with when we learn this chapter. Not the theoretical thing, but practical. Exactly how does this affect my daily life, my weekly life, my wife and children, you know, and everybody within my life. Just to see Rav Nosson Zal's words alone, addressing this word sholem. In other words, Rabbeinu Zal says it in two sentences, that a person should pray to get to a level where there'll be total peace among the Jews, which will lead to total peace among all the nations, so that there'll be an example for the world, and they'll bring the entire world to a level of world peace. To see how Rav Nosson Zal defines the term peace among Jews itself, that's not a one-sentence kind of deal. To see exactly, specifically what this means, And Rav Nosson Zal does this for every aspect of this, every concept that's mentioned in this chapter in Likud Moran. We're just going to touch 10 lines, let's say. You'll see what kind of wording, what kind of eloquent, awesome wording in Tefillah. Yehi rotzei milfonecha Hashem alakenu v'lkev aseinu. May it be your will, Hashem, the Hashem of our forefathers. Adoin hasholim, master of peace. Melech shahasholim shaloi, the king who all peace is his. Shetosim sholim ben amcha Yisrael, that you, Hashem, should establish peace among Bnei Yisrael. V'yisrabe hasholim, and there should be such a level of peace among the Jews, at sheyumshach hasholim ben kol boei olam, to the point where this peace will permeate and explode and expand to all nations of the world. V'lo yihye shum sina, and there should not be any hate, v'kina, or jealousy, v'tacharut, or competition, v'nitzochoin, or any desire to beat anybody, to be ahead of anybody, v'kintur, or any desire to show anybody else up, bein echod l'chaveroi, between one Jew and another. Rak yihye ahavo v'sholem godoil bein kulam. But rather, there should be love and peace, a tremendous love and peace among all of us. V'chol echod yeda bi'ahavas chaveroi, and each and every single one of us should get to know the love that their friend loves them, because there are many people who walk around thinking the whole world hates them and everybody wants to kill them, all kinds of complexes and diseases. Rav Nosson Zal says each and every person should be zoicha to get to know that their friend loves them. Shechaveroi doireish toivosoi, that their friend is only seeking their good. Umevakesh ahavosoi, and that their friend craves their love. Again, how many people walk around, I don't need nothing from nobody, period. That's not sholim. Sholim is a person wanting very much that people should like them. Not, I don't care what this one thinks, and I don't care what that one thinks. V'chofetz b'hatzlochosoi hanitzchias, and that each person should get to know, in other words, each person's friends should be on a level where they genuinely want that person's eternal success. Again, not success for a day. He'll make $100 so he'll be able to live better for a day or for a week. Or he'll make $1,000,000 so he'll be able to live better for 70 years or 80 years. Baloney, that's little. We're talking about a person wanting somebody else's success for eternity, forever. Success that really counts. Ad sheyuchlu lehizvaid ulehizkabetz yachad kol echodim chaveroiv, to the point where there'll be such a peace established, where all people will be able to get together and gather together, everyone with their friends, vidabru ze im ze, and they'll speak to each other, viasbiru ze lo ze hoemes, and each one will explain to the other one their definition of truth, their understanding of emes, ad sheyuchlu la'oirer ze eze, to the point where each and every Jew will be able to inspire and arouse every other Jew, awaken every other Jew, ulahazgir ze eze, and to remind each other, lehistakel al atzmoi heitev heitev bo'ilam hazeh, that each and every one of us should take a real good look at ourselves in this world, in this world, Oilam ho'oiver ke'erif ayin, this world that passes a person by like the blink of an eye. Tzel oiver, it's a passing shadow. Loi ketziloi shel dekel, it's not like the shadow of a palm tree. V'loi ketziloi shel koisel, not like the shadow of a wall. Elo ketziloi shel oif ha'poireach, but rather like the shadow of a bird flying by very quickly. That's what life in this world is. It goes by that fast. Vidaber v'yosiach kol echot im chaveroi, mahu hatachlis mikol taivas olam hazav v'havolov, and each one will speak to their friend and ask their friend, what's this whole world, what is life in this world all about? What's going to be the end of all the silly desires and all the stupid things that people chase in this world needlessly, for the, you know, all the bad things that people are chasing after in this world? Va'alma asinon lahay alma shvela, and for what purpose has Hashem sent each and every one of us down to this lowly world? V'yarbu ledaber zem ze bi'ahavo v'achvo v'chiba gedoylo be'emes la'amitoy me'um kadalibo, and people will increase, will be able to constantly increase the amount that they speak to each other with love, with unity, with tremendous friendship, in total sincerity from the depths of their heart, again, b'lishum nitzachon v'kintur klal, without any desire of wanting to show up to the other person, show the other person that I'm better than you, I know more than you, you know, or anything like that. Ad she'yo'irer kol echod es chaveroi lo shevel Hashem be'emes u'lahashlich eseliloi kasper v'liloi zovoi, etc. To the point where each one will awaken their friend to serve Hashem properly, etc., etc. I just wanted to use this as an example to illustrate that there are different ways to daven. And we have to know that sometimes we could be very limited in words or limited in our understanding of how specific a person has to be in speaking to Hashem and in understanding a word shalom, not to just use that word like something you burp out of your mouth, it comes out in half a second, but to know that that word shalom has a very specific definition and it includes these and these particular qualities, lack of nitzachon, lack of kintur. It's got to be something that's really from the heart, and it's got to be not where the person just wants the other person to have a short-lived success, but a genuine concern for that person's eternity, etc., etc., and with the hope that people realizing that this sefer is something that each and every one of us should put to maximum use. Rav Nosson Zal once said that once this sefer has been presented to the world, any Jew who lets a day in their life go by without reading a prayer from this sefer will be held accountable as to why they did it, how they were able to live a day without saying a tefillah from this sefer. Halavai, each and every one of us should be zechut to learn Rabbeinu Zal's words and understand them, and then learn the Rashi on it, the Likutei Tefillos, to say the Likutei Tefillos, and be able to translate it in our own words, in our own personal hispoidus, our own speaking to Hashem, and be zechut to get to give Hashem and Rabbeinu Zal the nachas that they're seeking from us, and then be zechut to get to see the coming of Moshiach.